there, sports fans. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode number 326. I'm your host, Mark Hebscher, along with Toronto Mike, and we have a full menu today. Not just finger food. We got everything. We got the whole enchilada, but we don't have enchiladas. The teams I follow, of course, are always top of the list. That's the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, the Blue Jays. Two more NHL players using their faith as an excuse to not support LGBTQ+, to not support inclusion. Two more? What the fuck is going on here? This is becoming a joke. The NHL's got to do something about this nonsense. We should be talking about the games, not these people that have decided that selfishly that it's their own crusade here. The World Baseball Classic was indeed a classic, but can they make it even better? Yes, they can. Go to a best of three series. Can you imagine? The Blue Jays have seven of the top 100 players in baseball, according to some experts at ESPN. We'll talk about that. Whatever happened to news, weather, and sports on your local TV station? The death of local sportscasters, of which I was one. We'll have a postmortem later. Also, tennis, golf, March Madness. And Mike, I got my first migraine yesterday. First, I'm a virgin. I was a virgin.
Wow.
I got my first migraine yesterday, and I was scared. I'd never experienced that before, but it wasn't the ones that I'd heard of, you know, in the head where you feel as if, you know, your head's going to explode or whatever. It wasn't that. It was in my eye, my left eye, where suddenly I'm blinking, and it's like someone took a flash picture of me, but the flash didn't go away. You know, like it usually does after four or five blinks, you get back to normal.
Okay, how long did this last?
Oh, a few hours, and I took a couple of Advil, and I lied down, and first thing I did was I went to Google, you know, what happens when you're seeing kaleidoscope, or the flash won't go away, or whatever, halos.
Right, stroke.
And so all of these were part of the description. Yes, there was a halo. Yes, right. There was a bright light. It wouldn't go away. Was my eye throbbing? No. Was it in pain? No. But there was all these other symptoms, and I'm trying to read this with a bad eye on, you know, the Google.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, what the hell? So, you know, okay, what did your mom always tell you? Take two aspirins and lie down. So that's what I did. Took a couple of Advil, lied down, and woke up an hour or so later, and I was fine. But I was scared. I thought I was, like, losing my sight. And I've heard the stories of all these people. Oh, you lose your sight, and you're going...
Is this topic coming back in the actual episode?
Happens to you.
Are we going to revisit this? Or is this the headache? Oh, is this topic coming back in the actual episode? Or is this just the anecdote in the intro?
Did I get here before you or something? What?
No, because if you're going to revisit the headache later in the episode, then
I might have to if you keep this up.
Well, because I have a timely headache story. That's all I was.
Well,
gonna...
then let's hear it.
Okay,
if we're on the subject of headaches.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's do it real quick.
Everyone listening,
because you're describing.
I
also don't get migraines. So I had what you're describing, except it was all around and it was like pressure cooker in my head. Except it lasted 4 days. Okay.
Wow.
I know. And then I went to emergency because my doctor said you might have a brain bleed.
What?
Anyway, this is a couple of weeks ago, I guess. We've already recorded since then. I actually recorded one episode of Hebsy on Sports during the headache. I was just taking all these Advils and trying to get ahead of it.
I would have never known.
No, because I'm a professional.
Yes, you are. You are a professional.
Long story short, because I've already lost half the Hebsy on Sports audience.
People are tuned in. What do you mean Mike's talking about his migraines? Let's tune in.
Well, they do a doc at the ER, does a CAT scan to rule out the brain bleed. And then he puts me in a room and says, because originally he thought it was migraines. He goes, Mike, I was wrong. This is very rare. You have a blood clot on your brain. This is, less than about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I know. There you go. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports. And I have a blood clot. I'm Mike, and I have a blood clot on my brain as I speak to you right now.
So what's the prognosis?
They put you on blood thinners right away. Like, I had to spend the night in the hospital because they said you could have a stroke and we have to watch you. So I'm in I actually had my first ever night in a hospital in my life.
Jesus.
And they put you on blood thinners right away. Right. I take it twice a day. And essentially, you wait. It takes, like, I don't know, 6 to 12 weeks for your brain to absorb the blood clot. In the meantime, you do get headaches, my friend. I just popped a couple of Tylenol for you. And you get headaches, but otherwise you're fine. I do that for you, Hebsy, man. But, you know, I should live.
I really feel terrible.
Now you feel bad about your four-hour headache. I wish I had a four-hour headache.
No. I feel bad that you have kept working through all of this and
haven't
been looking after yourself to the extent that you should be. You can't just shut. I guess you can't just shut down TMDS.
Well, do you shut can't down tell something?
All of your clients, including right. me. Hey, man, you know, because no one else can do what you do. So I see that, you know, you're feeling sort of that pressure. That not that pressure.
Right.
Of, you know, I got to go to work. It's well, like I watched MASH the other day, yeah. and Father Mulcahy had hepatitis, and he's like, oh, I've got to be able to take confession.
That's a good man.
They're going, no, you can't. And he's going, no, you don't understand. People are depending on me. We got to find a way. So you found a way through all of this to, you know, continue to work and stuff like that.
Well, because Hebsy, that's very at the end great. Of this all, which I should fully recover. All the I have a hematologist, I have a neurologist. Good. It's a big deal. But I take the Good. Blood thinners. They're going to see I might have a genetic like a disease that makes you get blood clots, right. which means I'm on blood thinners forever. But in the meantime, the only symptom I have is a headache. So I do take the Tylenol and it dulls it and then I can just do my work. I don't think I can shut it down because of a little headache, right? So here okay, I am, but I'm excited to talk headache. Sports with you.
Okay, great. That's good. The big reveal by Toronto Micah. Good. I'm glad. But you're feeling better, right?
Yeah, like other than the headache, I wake up and I pop the Tylenol and I kind of feel better. Okay. I feel fine right now. I still bike and everything. Like I'm not.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Okay. And what did they say about like podcasting? Did they say, look, stay away from Hampshire because it's going to make it worse. Your head's going to explode.
As long as you don't punch me because I could get internal bleeding from the blood thinners.
So. Promise I won't punch you. I promise. All right. So, wow, that's big news. But good, it's right. good, you know. But you're still a sports fan.
Well, I wasn't even going to bring that up, except you started talking about the headache, and I said, I have a headache story for you.
Because you didn't want me going, what the fuck is wrong with Toronto Mike? He's just not himself. What the fuck is going on? I'm going to have to let him go.
Oh, that's the other thing.
You've explained what's going on.
I might be brain damaged. I get the MRI in May to confirm. So if I do confuse things, that's why. Okay, it's my excuse.
Okay, all right. Well, we're all wishing you the best here. And now let's get to the podcast here.
All right, let's do it.
So the Maple Leafs last night, they're in Florida, and I'm thinking, well, the game's in Toronto, right? Because the roar is incredibly loud. No, it's all the Leaf fans. Leaf fans travel best. And, of course, in Florida, you know, I mean, that's second home to a lot of Torontonians, right? People from, you know, the Leaf fans are from Ontario, whatever. It's Florida. It's not that far. What, 2.5 hours by plane? There you are. So, and it's March, and people are, you know, on holidays. So a huge contingent of Leaf fans down there to see the Leafs whip the Panthers 6-2. But unfortunately, the Stahl brothers, Mark and Eric, decided to lean on their Christian faith and opted out of the warm-up, which would have, you know, seen them wear their pride jerseys for like 10 minutes during warm-up with like half the crowd there, just like the rest of their teammates. Once again, these selfish moves take away from the game itself, just like it did when James Reimer decided that his Christian faith was more important than real inclusion. Folks, it's becoming utter bullshit. I'm sick and tired of talking about it. I wish I didn't have to talk about it. The NHL has to step in. They have to fine players. They have to fine teams for interfering with the league's desire. Oh, sorry, no, mandate to be inclusive. The NHL is inclusive, except for this guy and that guy and this team and that team. No, you're either all in or you're not. And the NHL cannot claim to be inclusive if it allows this to happen. Any player in the starting lineup who doesn't take warmups should be suspended. Got it? You're on the card. You're one of the 20 players. Is it 2018? There you go. Now you're not out there for warmups. Now an NHL official goes, where's so-and-so for warmups? Where's Stahl? Where's the other Stahl? No? Okay, suspended. Suspended. This is especially disconcerting because Eric Stahl has participated in Pride Nights on at least two other occasions that I know of, with Montreal and with Minnesota. In fact, I know someone who has a signed Eric Stahl pride jersey from the Minnesota Wild, for crying out loud. So explain to that person how Eric Stahl was an inclusive person and wore the jersey with pride and with all of his teammates. And now, no? If he wore the jersey then, why all of a sudden did he decline to do so last night? Fine and suspend him, NHL. Do it. Have some teeth. Because right now, Gary Bettman and company look like a bunch of fucking wimps, don't they? They do. Now, I know we should be talking about the game, but I know the players want to just play hockey. We just want to play hockey. But it's obvious that for the most part, the Russians are in the middle of most of these issues, you know, notwithstanding the Stahl brothers and James Reimer. But with regards to wearing a pride jersey, even though Russian players like Sergei Bobrovsky of Florida, who went out for the warm-up last night wearing the pride jersey, no problem. Gino Malkin of Pittsburgh, same thing. He wore it on the Penguins pride night, no problem. But most of the Russian players have declined. And some teams with Russian players, and 5% of the NHL is Russian, Some teams have already canceled their Pride nights. They canceled them. Philadelphia didn't cancel theirs, but they had the first problem with Prokhorov, who said, you know, he claimed, oh, I'm Russian Orthodox, and that religion prevents me from recognizing homosexuality. And we all went, ah. And then the Rangers canceled their Pride night, even after telling season ticket holders by email that the Pride night was coming up and that you could go to a certain website and through auction, you could buy these signed Pride jerseys. And then they took the link down and they told, and then they said, no, we're not having the Pride night. And people are, oh, wait a second, maybe because there's three prominent Russians on the team, the goalie, Shesterkin, Panarin, and the other goalie. I can't think of his name, but he's Russian. Maybe that. Well, what about in Minnesota, where they had a same thing? They had a link to the auction for, you know, signed jerseys, and then they took it down. And why is that? Well, there's Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota, who's Russian, and he had some visa problems last year. They gave him a hard time, you know? And so Minnesota said, yeah, you know, forget it. And now Chicago has canceled its Pride night, likely because of the worries of Nikita Zaitsev, a Russian, who has family back home in Russia. So here's the background, Mike, on this. Under Putin, Russia has passed several laws that restrict the rights of LGBTQ plus citizens. And in December, the New York Times reported that the country passed a new law that makes it, quote, illegal to spread propaganda about non-traditional sexual relations in the media, in advertising, movies, or on social media. Now, these are legitimate fears. I'm quoting here Ben Noble, associate professor of Russian politics at University of College of London. He said there are legitimate fears. If you put on a Pride jersey, then there is uncertainty regarding how this would be interpreted by law enforcement in Russia. And that's a risk. The authorities have the power to enforce this and other legislation selectively. It's up to them to decide whom they go after, end quote. Experts say the biggest impact this law has is casting the community as inappropriate, making it more invisible and subject to abuses. The new law is likely to push the LGBTQ community even further underground. And the new law also contains a ban on propaganda for pedophilia. And a leading independent news site, Medusa, said the combination, quote, looks like an attempt by Russia to put homosexuality and pedophilia in the same row, end quote. So, Mike, knowing that, what should the NHL do? What can the NHL do? There's still 14 teams that have Pride nights scheduled, including the Leafs, who have a Russian player, Ilya Samsonov. Has anyone talked to him about a potential Pride night? I know the Leafs have not come up with a particular date. Last year it was in April. But how do you feel about this?
What a clusterfuck. Like the whole thing, the whole Russian thing, we talked about that during the Olympic Games in Sochi. Like you couldn't show in, you know, you could, a woman couldn't kiss her girlfriend, for example, after winning gold, right? Like I almost, the Russian thing is a whole difficult, like I'm dying to know your thoughts on the Russian thing, but what's really irking me is these Stahl brothers and James Reimer, who I once adored so much, I bought a t-shirt.
We're getting a lot of flashback from people, okay? A lot of flack saying, hey, you got no right. This, it's an individual choice. And, you know, I'm looking at a lot of these going, okay, I kind of don't see your point, because if everyone else is doing it, and, you know, a lot of these guys are Christian, have Christian values, whatever, but they're doing it, why can't you do it? Why can't we all be inclusive for 10 minutes wearing a Pride jersey? I mean, but if it's that bad for these Russian players, then maybe the NHL shouldn't allow Russians in the league. Maybe if the European Union and like, there's no way you could have a World Cup of hockey, because there's no way the European teams would allow the Russians to compete. So no. You're not going to, like Connor McDavid wants best on best. You're not going to get it if the Russians aren't playing. But still, you could still have a great tournament. I mean, there've been several terrific Olympics without the Russians or you know, the Soviet backed countries involved. So why couldn't you have a World Cup of hockey without Russia? We're having Olympics without Russia. I don't understand.
Yeah, the junior tournament goes on without Russia.
Yeah. There you go. So come on. The NHL had any teeth at all, it would just say, listen, this is the deal. If you're part of the roster that your team puts out there and you're not out for the warm-up, I don't care what the reason is, you're suspended. Okay. Now, if he goes out there for the warm-up and he's not wearing the Pride jersey and every other guy on the team is, he looks like a bigger idiot. So go ahead out there. But for the team to say, then you're not participating in the warm-up just draws more attention to it. No, no, make him go out there. And if he wants to do it without a Pride jersey and everyone sees him, then let the fans go, ah, you motherfucker. Fuck you. Ah, you asshole. Right?
Right.
That's how I would do
so it. So let me hear your thought. Okay, so the Russian, that's a whole, you know, I don't even know what to say about the Russian situation.
Look, here's the thing, okay? You're playing hockey. You're earning a living in North America. You've got family back home. Is Russia the first country? You're telling me that no one's ever come to this country or played a professional sport that worried about their family back home? Okay. Well, if you're making enough money, then bring your family here, right? But don't say, oh, no, I can't. I can't go out for Pride Night because my family back in Fedinsk, you know, the law enforcement's going to go after them. Okay, that's the type of country you're in. You have the opportunity to leave and take your family. You have the means. Think of all the people that can't get out of there, right? So, you know, there's no dilemma here. Your family is living in a country that is, you know, horrible. It's a horrible place, okay? Get them out of there. Don't tell me I can't wear the Pride jersey and be part of inclusion, because if I do, then my family's at risk back in Russia. Get them the fuck out of there.
But what are your thoughts on somebody like a James Reimer who does not have family in Russia, as far as I know? Like,
well, I just think it's such an excuse. It's just so thinly veiled. I mean, first of all, unfortunately, I know a lot. Like, I haven't read the Old Testament, but I know there's a lot of people I've spoken to who are like, well, it says in the Bible, blah. And I'm like, it does? I don't think it says that.
It says lots of things.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does. Because, New Testament, Old Testament. Yeah, so, you know, it's easy to cherry pick. But I mean, it's pretty obvious. James Reimer plays on the Sabbath, wears, polyester,
eats shellfish,
whatever the case is. All right, either you're either completely and 100% observant,
right,
of everything,
right,
and if you're not, then you can't just pick and choose. But I just think, I want to know who the higher authority is that said, you know, you go ahead, you be your own person. Don't be like the rest of your teammates, because this is a team sport. This isn't like a tennis player saying, I'm going to default my match to you because of my religious beliefs or something like that, right? Like, for example, if I have to play a Russian player, I default to you, right? I'm not going to engage with you. I'll default. That's my reason. You're Russian. You kill. You've killed my family, right? And you support it. Comes down to that. So there you go. And I'd be very interested to see how the Maple Leafs handle Pride Night, because if there's any problem with Ilya Samsonov, oh boy, you're going to have some shit fit.
Man.
Let's see. 14 more teams, Mike. 14 more teams have scheduled Pride Nights. Let's see how many of them come off.
You know what I detest?
This has been a huge clusterfuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And I detest hearing somebody, demonstrate what I deem to be homophobia and bigotry and hiding behind faith. Like, to me, you can't don that jersey for 50 minutes to tell that gay boy or girl that, you know, you're welcome in this sport. Like, essentially, you can't do it. It's as if donning the jersey means now, okay, now it's absolutely to show support to members of the community that they're welcome in the sport of hockey.
But it also shows you that, you know, how terrible the Russian regime is, that they've enacted this law.
Well, and we knew that.
Like, you're part of this. If you,
right.
If you show the fear, they know they got you now. They got, like, what happened with, like, forget, what happened with Eric Staal? Like, how do you, are you telling me that he grudgingly, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to be a good teammate. Good for you. And now it's like, I don't want to be a good teammate anymore. I'm a good Christian. No, but what about all the other good Christians on your team? What about them? And what kind of discussions have been going on behind the scenes?
Wow.
Anyway, and more hockey. Now, Connor McDavid hoping to become the first player in 30 years to score 70 goals in a season. Why? Because he just reached the 60 mark and there's like 12 games to go.
Wow.
He can do it. He's averaging like almost a goal a game, right? 60 and 72. Well, okay. He could do it. You know, especially if he grabs a hat trick here and there. But he's the one who's like, you know, they asked him, but hey, you said, did you watch the World Baseball Classic? Oh, yes, I did. Wasn't that the greatest thing I ever saw? Shohei Ohtani against Mike Trout is sensational. Why can't hockey have this? I want to see the World Cup of Hockey make a comeback. I would love to play against the best on best, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's great, Connor, but you know what's going on, Russia and Ukraine, you know, the chances of seeing you take on the likes of Ovechkin is unlikely, virtually impossible at this point. Okay, it robs hockey fans of a classic matchup, blah, 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 but come on. I think McDavid needs to understand that, you know, while he's frustrated at the political roadblocks involved, the Putin regime is not interested in backing down from a military standpoint. Oh, Connor McDavid? Well, no, we have to play. No, give a shit. Okay? So we can engage their hockey players. We just can't do it. We can't. By the way, shouldn't the World Baseball Classic be a best of three final, Mike?
I mean, it's sort of sad.
A one-off game. Like,
but that's why it was so exciting. It's like a Super Bowl. Like, I kind of like
But that's just it. Think about this. The greatest best of three final in the history of sport was what?
I don't know. Canada and Czechoslovakia.
6-5.
Right.
And if you remember in that 87 Canada Cup, I know it's a while ago, but you can see it on YouTube.
I remember.
All three scores are 6-5.
Yeah.
And in two of those three games, a team blew a 3-goal lead. And in the other one, a team blew a 2-goal lead. So it was the most back. It was so back and forth. So edge of your seat. 6-5, 6-5, 6-5. Okay.
Right.
What happened was after the first game, which Russia won 6-5, I remember going, thank God it's not a one-off tournament. Thank God it's not like the gold medal game. We lose. But we had a chance. And this was where the drama takes place. Just imagine, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, viewers, imagine if after Ohtani strikes out Trout, all right, the next day, game two of the series, Trout hits a home run off Ohtani in the ninth to win the game and tie the series and send it to a third deciding game. And then in game three, the two meet again in a critical moment. Wouldn't that have been spectacular?
Hebsy, you're dreaming in Technicolor. Okay, we got the brilliant conclusion. You have no idea what would happen in game two or three.
No, you don't think Trout, you don't think the world wants to see, does Trout get a rematch against Ohtani? Yeah, 4 years from now. No, it's too late. No. The next day, Trout. They go to Trout before the game. What do you think? He's saying, I'd like to get another shot at him. What about you, Ohtani? Oh, I'd like to see if I could do. Oh, yeah, that's the drama. That's the beauty.
But what a finish, Hebsy. It's as if it was scripted, right? Like, what a brilliant way to end that.
I get it, but not as much. It would have been if there was bases loaded. He was the tying runner. He had to hit a home run. What if he singles? What if he beats Ohtani and hits a single, and then the next guy strikes out or the next guy pops out? It wouldn't have been the same, right? Okay. Wouldn't have been the same because it wasn't Trout. The next guy, I think, was it Nolan Arenado or whoever it was a great player. But that, of course, two teammates, right? The unicorn against them, you know, that was lovely. It was lovely. But, I mean, Ohtani just totally dominated him. It would have been great if it was like 10 pitch at bat. And Trout hooked one just foul, almost hit a home run to tie it. And then
Roy Hobbs.
That would have been, Anyway, let's go to basketball now. The Raptors still walking that tightrope that is the play-in tournament.
Oh.
Jeez Christ, the team looks like a bunch of Carl Willendas up there. Almost falling over. Currently, the Raptors in ninth place, which it seems they've been in ninth for like the last few weeks. And after that loss to Indiana this week, oh my God, that was horrible. They're a game back of eighth place Atlanta. And like I said, you want to get in that 7-8 game. I mean, if you finish eighth or if you're in the 7-8 game, you play Miami in Miami. It's one game. All right. And if the Raptors can get there, they can get there. Even if they lose to Miami, they get a chance. If they lose that game, they play the winner of the 9-10 game. Yeah, anyway, so right now they're in ninth. They host lowly Detroit tonight. They got to beat Detroit. We're not sure of the status of Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent Jr., and Precious Achiuwa, but unlikely to see any of the three of them. And if so, they're not going to be anywhere near 100%. Atlanta hosts Indiana tomorrow. We're hoping that those three Canadians who play for the Pacers can do to the Hawks what they did to the Raptors the other night. They killed us. Ben Mathurin, O'Shea Brissett, and Andrew Nembhard combined for 49 points the other night. Three Canadians started against the Raptors in Toronto and beat the Raptors. All right? I didn't like that at all. Meanwhile, the NCAA tournament, remember the March Madness, they called it, right, Mike?
Right.
It's a big deal every year.
Yes.
It's not such a big deal this year because there's too much other stuff going on. Now, the issue initially was, Mike, remember, I had said, well, the World Baseball Classic is going on during spring training.
Right.
And there's March Madness, whatever. And how are they going to find? And of course, I was like other people, totally wrong. It was spectacular. But March Madness, to me, kind of got pushed aside. Like, you know what? It's like, oh, you know what? I haven't got time for all the, you know, playing games and all that. I'm watching the World Baseball Classic. So the Sweet 16 is going on right now. My bracket was busted like really early. Purdue went down in the first round. Zach Edey from Toronto, 7'4". They got eliminated. Boom.
Yeah, that sucked. That's only the second time that's happened in the history of this tournament. A one seed going out in the first round.
Right. And so because of that and a few other things, and people got their brackets busted, is like there's other things to do. It wasn't as interesting to me. Four games tonight in the South and Midwest regionals. Florida Atlantic beat Tennessee yesterday. So Florida Atlantic's going to play Kansas State in one of the Elite Eight matchups. You got Gonzaga taking on UConn in the other Final Eight matchup. And then you got games tonight to decide the other entrance into the Elite Eight. Just so much going on, man. And there isn't one particular team. Like I said, a lot of the big teams have gotten knocked out. But it's great to see underdogs. And in that type of format, single knockout, you're done. But not for the final of the World Baseball Classic. No, please make it a best of three next time. Thank you. ESPN has released its top 100 Major League Baseball players this year, and there are 7 Blue Jays on the list. Mike, who's the number one player on the list? Top Major League Baseball. Easy. Slam dunk.
Ohtani.
Yeah. Number two?
Trout.
Yeah. Okay. How about that? Hey, number three is Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Top J is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., number 16.
Okay. Pretty good.
So he wins a gold glove at first base. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, I mean, his numbers were down last year, but still pretty good. 16. I'd like to... Can I make a wager somewhere? Can I get a bet down somewhere that next year at this time he's going to be in the top 10? I mean, there's some really good ball players there, but man, 16. If I'm Vladdy, I'm like, I'm better than that. Bo Bichette, next Blue Jay at number 49. Alek Manoah, 51. Okay. George Springer is rated the 63rd best player in Major League Baseball. Matt Chapman, the 82nd best player in baseball. Okay. Kevin Gausman is, according to ESPN's experts, the 85th best player in baseball. And newcomer Dalton Varsho is the 93rd best player in Major League Baseball. With all that talent, Mike, the Jays should be going places this year. Can they win the division? It's never easy in the American League East. But to the playoffs and beyond this year for the Blue Jays.
Can't wait, Hebsy. This is the time of year I love because it's starting to warm up. Supposedly starting to warm up out there. We got Blue Jay baseball coming back to town. Can't wait, buddy.
By the way, Major League Baseball, with all the changes, some of the ads they put out are hysterical. They've got one with, it's just so funny. It's is it Kyle Schwarber? I'm trying to think who it is. Anyway, it's one of the big guys running the bases. He's looking at the base going, ooh, the bases are bigger this year. And his manager from the Mets is Buck Showalter. And Buck Showalter is going, he's not thinking of stealing second, is he? Daniel Vogelback? Anyway, he's not thinking of stealing second, is he? And then the guy is like, I could steal a base here. Some very funny ads that are basically saying, look, we got new rules. The game is quicker. The game is more fun. The game's going to be more exciting. The game's not going to be the way it was. Check out the new Major League Baseball. You know, the stealing and the infield, the shift. There's one really funny one where there's 4 kids and they're all within 3 feet of each other around the shortstop position. And the guy's going, oh, ban it. Thank God they banned the shift, right? Come on, you guys, spread out. Like stuff like that. It's very funny.
Hey, a quick question also, from your YouTube channel. This is from Craig Miller. He's a great contributor to the family here. So he wants to know, did you have that list, that 100? Like, is Teoscar Hernandez on that list?
No. No, no. Go to ESPN. They got the list there. No, Teoscar Hernandez is not on that list.
Okay.
He's not that good. He's not that good.
All right, Craig, you got your marching orders. Go dig it up. Yeah. But he's not there.
I mean, I've zipped through. I didn't see it. I mean, it's possible he is out there, but I zipped through the whole thing. I didn't.
If he's on that list, I'm going to isolate your laughter.
I think I would have been surprised if I was spotted Teoscar. He might be he's between 94 and 100 because after Dalton Varsho, I didn't check out the rest of the top 100.
Gotcha.
But I zipped through. Didn't see Teoscar Hernandez on the list. By the way, Major League Baseball has told all its member teams that they will be evaluating the performances of bat boys and bat girls and may ask teams to get rid of them if they consider their performance to be, quote, substandard.
Wow.
So a warning out there. And I'm thinking
you got to be fast, right?
Pretty soon, Mike, that's right, because of the timing. But pretty soon, mascots may also be held to the same standard. You know what I mean?
You remember Seinfeld?
What if you're distracting the hitter or the pitcher, right? Some of that, you know, that's a distraction. But yeah, Bat Boys and Bat Girls, okay, they better get out there and freaking clean up fast, because as soon as the ball goes back to the pitcher, is thrown back to the pitcher, the clock starts.
Remember when Kramer was a ball boy at the U.S. Open?
Tennis.
And after you give us I know you love your tennis, and we're going to get a Hebsy tennis update here. I got to ask you a question at the end of the tennis talk about a different racket sport.
All right, sure. No problem. In tennis, both Bianca Andreescu and Lila Annie Fernandez are in action today in Miami. Bianca gets the number 7 seed, Sakari, the Finn. No, she Greek? She's Greek. So what, Finn? You know what it is, Mike? The flag is, for both countries, is white with blue.
Yes.
Right?
But they don't look like it's a
No, Finland. They don't. No, okay. The Finland one's pretty simple. It's just white with like a blue big cross in it. But the thing is, when I think of it, I'm like, I think of the flag next to, whenever I see a performer, an athlete, that generally, a lot of times there's a flag of their home country next to them.
But you good know,
in
point,
golf,
okay?
In golf and auto racing, they'll show it and stuff like that. They don't show it as much in baseball or hockey or whatever.
But when I see that, I think of Finland. But I was, you know, there's so many great Swedish tennis players in history. Like, great, what a country for producing tennis pros Sweden is. And then I think of like the other Scandinavian countries. Like, what's their problem? Like, where's the Finnish tennis stars? Am I missing them?
Are you missing them?
Like, are they out there and I just don't know about them? Like, it feels like Sweden dominates that part of Europe when it comes to tennis.
Well, if you compare the two nations when it comes to tennis, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Sweden does dominate. Sweden definitely does. You've got some Norwegian players. But yeah, I really haven't gone. I haven't done the breakdown.
I mean, a court is a court. You know, it's not like,
Okay. No, I got it. I'm still working on, I'm still working on Sardinia, Cyprus and Elba, those three nations. Okay, I haven't got time for the Scandinavian nations yet.
Able was I ere I saw Elba.
The other one, you got to add Denmark, don't you? If you're talking Scandinavia, don't you have to add Denmark?
Sure, Copenhagen, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll get into that at another time.
We'll report.
Meanwhile,
back.
Where was I? Bianca Andreescu from Canada. She gets the second seed, Sakari of Greece. I think now I'm not sure. Lila Annie Fernandez gets the number 9 seed, Benchich. I think it might be Benchich. That's the way you say it. I really do. I've always been a stickler for proper pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to announce someone's name, I have to find out from the person, from the source. You know, how would you like it pronounced? There's a lot of people, athletes, I guess, who are like, just whatever. It doesn't matter to me. It's been mispronounced so many times in my life that I really don't care. You know, just make sure that, you know, you make sure it's correct on the check when you send me the check, that kind of thing. Anyway, Benchich. Like Perisic. Perisic. Hmm. Perisic. Anyway, that's the second round action. On the men's side, Denis Shapovalov is in action today against Guido Peja of Argentina. I think it's Pella. From Argentina. So I'm going to say that it's Peja, the two L's together. It's not Y in Argentine. It's Guido Peja.
That's a rare non-Italian Guido.
Well, if you know, in Argentina, there are plenty of lots of Italian background there. A lot of anyway. Tomorrow, Felix Auger-Aliassime, which is so easy to pronounce. It just rolls off the tongue.
Beautiful.
He gets the number 5 seed, Thiago Monteiro of Brazil. Thiago Monteiro sounds like a new Ford vehicle coming out, the electric.
With Corinthian leather.
Thiago Monteiro with Corinthian leather. Anyway, that's the tennis story, Mike. Now, what's your little anecdote?
Okay, well, quickly, I'll update you on Teoscar Hernandez, who did make the top 100. But like you said, you bailed after 94. Teoscar's number 99.
So, is he really?
Thank you, Craig Miller. No, that's funny because you laughed.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks, man. I did. But at least I said, like, I don't know about the top 100. I knew about the top 93 after Marshall.
Okay. And my question for you, because I know you're a racket sport fan. I know you play pickleball and you love your tennis. But have you ever heard of the sport padel? Padel.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's sort of a hybrid of those sports, right?
Yeah.
Where did it originate?
Yeah, I know it's big in Spain. So
Spain,
I'm sure.
Basque. I think it's a Basque sport, yes.
Okay. I was at a house party this past weekend with the...
Whose party?
It's an owner of a franchise in the new Pro Padel League. There's a new Pro Padel League. There's a Toronto franchise. And one of the co-owners of this Toronto franchise is a guy named Sebastian Javinko. You ever heard of this guy?
Of course.
I know. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I was hanging with Sebastian and all the other owners of this Pro Padel League. I had to Google Padel, but it's coming here. And I don't know where you can play it in Toronto, but I just wondered if you had heard of it, Padel.
I had, but I had not heard of the Pro Padel League, the PPL, and I didn't know Javinko was an investor or whatever.
Yeah.
What did he tell you?
Where are they going to play?
What are their team colors?
Well, the draft was on Monday, and our party was Sunday.
I missed it. Yeah. I missed the draft, the PPL draft.
It wasn't on TSN? Okay. But the franchise, I can tell you.
TSN 11.
Yeah. I'll just tell you the name of the Toronto franchise is Polar Bears. So Javinko is a co-owner of the Toronto Polar Bears. There's 7 franchises. And the one thing I will tell you is that man, we had a long chat, and I hope I'm not talking out of school here, but he would absolutely love to suit up for TFC again. Like, this is his primary goal. So
I got no TFC stuff today. That the team's fallen below the radar for me.
Well, it might be fun season for the fans to sign
them. First of all, I can't believe they play in weather like this. I mean, honestly, I would never go and sit through a game like freezing. Like, I'd rather, it's like sitting through ice fishing, you know? But that's another story. That's all I'd say. Well, good. That's nice that you were hanging with Javinko. It's going to be tough in this league because you're going to have a pro rugby team. You're going to have a pro women's soccer team. You're going to have a pro women's basketball team. You're going to have a pro women's hockey team. You're going to have a lacrosse team. No, they're in Hamilton. You've got Argos. Man, that's a lot of. What other sport am I making? Oh, pro pickleball.
I did hear that. Pickleball. So well, now we have the Polar Bears and the Padel League.
What am I saying? You're going to have a second NHL team. Man, that's going to be tough.
Where's that going to be?
How do you spell
Padel? P-A-D-E-L. So the Pro Padel
like
League.
Paddle.
Yeah, except I guess the Spanish influence, we say Padel.
But it's called paddle. It's like paddleball. Padel.
P-A-D-E-L.
Padel.
So, Padel.
Paddle.
I always think it rhymes with Rafael Nadal, like it rhymes with Nadal. It's Padel.
Right. The implement you use to hit the ball, is it called a Padel? Is that
Padel? It's a racket of some sort. I haven't actually.
A racket or paddle.
These are tough questions for me. But anyways, coming soon, Pro Padel League and the Polar Bears.
Got it. There you go. Hopefully you'll get some free tickets.
Yeah, I think they might play in Miami. I'm not even sure they can. I'm not even sure we have a court here.
In golf, it's the WGC, the world, whatever it's called. It's match play, okay, in Austin, Texas. It's not stroke. Stroke play is when a bunch of guys go out there and whoever shoots the lowest, fewest number of strokes over 72 holes wins. And in live, it's whoever shoots the lowest score in 54 holes wins. Live is like talking about falling off the radar. But anyway, so the World Golf Championship match play, this is the final year for this event because it's boring. Because you get like 64, 128 guys and you're in groups, you're in pools. So you could lose your first match or tie a match and still advance to the next round out of the group stage, blah, 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 blah. So today we've got Nick Taylor, Adam Svensson, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin, and Corey Connors all in action. None are playing each other. So there is no Canadian versus Canadian matchup here. And I'm not going to go through who won their matches, what their record is. It's I don't know, not that exciting to me. Okay, so there you go. There's your golf right there. A great article in Sports Illustrated this week by John Wertheim. John Wertheim, excellent writer and a correspondent on 60 Minutes. The article is called The Death of the Local Sports Anchor. Ah, and it made me think of all the sports anchors over the years that I either watched growing up, worked with as when I was an anchor, or continued to watch after I left, although not many of those because they don't exist anymore. Mike, remember when it used to be you tune on the local news and it was news, weather, and sports?
Absolutely. Yes.
News, weather, and sports with Tom Gibney, Christine Bentley, Lance Brown, Dave Duvall, right? That was the CFTO.
Right.
And then if it was City T, Gord Martineau, Ann Bruskowski, Peter Gross, Jim McKenney on sports, you know, Debbie Van Kiekebelt, Ann Romer. Like, the list goes on and on and on. Think of all the sports anchors, local sports anchors that would, you know, as part of their sportscast would do a local story on a high school. City TV did that a lot, of course. Not anymore. There aren't any, except for Bubba O'Neill, my buddy at Channel 11 in Hamilton. All the local sports is taken up by the network anchors on either Sportsnet or TSN, right?
It's the end of an era, right, Hebsy? I actually, you know, I grew up with these anchors you're talking about. You know, Jim McKenney was a, you know, big deal to me. Jim McKenney, City TV News, and then so on. And just, you know, just a different era. I suppose the internet killed the anchor. Is that what happened here?
Well, I mean, people can get their information before, you know, the allotted, you know, time of, before the scheduled time of a television newscast, right? I mean, that's why they have 24-hour news stations. You can flip on CP24 and you can get the highlights before the 11 o'clock, you know, sportscast or whatever the case. So yeah, that certainly had a lot to do. People already had that information.
But we
to
given,
me, it was part of the happy talk. The happy talk was, right. You know, the local anchor was, you know, time for sports. And, you know, I did lots of, you know, sports casts, right? You know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was on Global. For a long time, Jim and I did an early edition of Sportsline at 10 to 7 every night. We did 10 minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes, half of it was previewing that night's show and what games we were going to show highlights of and stuff like that. But it was a legit sportscast. And then after a while, it was 8 minutes and it was 7 minutes and it was 4 minutes, it was 2 minutes. Then it was, we don't need you anymore. We can get the news person to read scores and highlights. And then after a while it was, we don't even need the news person to do it anymore because these people, they're not tuned in for that. They know that. And if they want that information, they've got it at their fingertips. They're not tuning in for sports. Goodbye to all the local sportscasters. They're gone. They're all gone.
Oh no, that's a Jim McKay line when the terrorist attack in 72, they're all gone. But the not to depress you if that remember memory, but to go back to the sports anchors, etc. Like, what about the fact that we used to get, I would tune into City TV Sports and Jim McKenney would, for example, maybe talk about the Metro Bowl or whatever, or the high school OFSA semifinals. Like, we just completely
local sports, local.
Yeah, so what happened? You don't, that's nowhere. Like, where would you follow that? Or just people just don't care about, like, the fact that the Runnymede, now they used to be, they had a name that they changed, right. But the Runnymede basketball team.
Yeah. Here's the issue. The issue is this. The networks are sending, you know, people to the Leaf day of game practices, right? They're battling each other to see, what were the line combos and get them out on Twitter and stuff like that. But also it's to promote the game that's going to be on their network that night.
Yes.
Or, right? It's all a promotional machine.
Right.
So you don't have time to go out and do a local story, even though there are lots of people in the GTA that are interested in local sports. You're not going to get it. There's no coverage there. You know, when I was growing up, there was a thing called Metro Cable, Mike. Metro Cable. And they used to show, you know, Toronto Towers basketball games and not Canadian Italian Hockey League, but they would show Ryerson Hockey and St. Mike's Hockey, you know, stuff like that. There were games that were broadcast, or there were, you know, they would have, you know, people that would volunteer at the, local cable company, Newton Cable, McLean Hunter Cable,
sure.
Scarborough Cable, Metro Cable. And they would, you know, they would do games. They had a remote, they would go out to various events and they would broadcast games, all kinds of ways to, you know, to view local sports if you wanted to. Now, you know, unless somebody goes out and shoots a minor game or something like that on their own phone, you're not going to see stuff like this. So it's dead. It's too bad. It's too bad. It's been taken over by the TSNs and Sportsnets of the world. In the States, it's ESPN and Fox Sports. Really very few stations now that have that local sportscaster. In the article, though, it talked about how the local sports anchor was like a god, like, you know, walked among, you know, it's like, you know, everyone knows that person. Everybody knows the local sportscaster, right? You know, we see you're on our television all the time, right? You're omnipresent, 6 and 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 5, whenever the news was.
Right.
When I started at Global, they said, we're going to do it at 5:30. We're going to do a 5:30 newscast, and you're going to be the sports anchor on the 5:30 newscast. Really? So, you know, at 10 to 6 every day, right? Before, like, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because The Young and the Restless was 4:30 to 5:30, and they wanted to keep that audience.
Right.
They wanted to keep those housewives and soccer moms or whatever who are now going to prepare dinner after watching the YNR. Keep them.
Right.
There's John Daw. There's Susan Hay. There's Martha Hallett. There's Mark Hebsy. Let's have some fun. So that's what they did. So, you know, I'd walk the streets and people would go, there's the guy on Global. What? You're the guy on Global. You're Jim Daddy. No, it's the other guy.
And that, you would say, yes, guy. You go, no, guy. No, guy. I'm not Jim Taddy. Hey, who is your favorite sportscaster?
I wouldn't say that.
Because he'd send you an invoice, maybe. Who are your favorite sportscasters? Like, I'm just name check, like, your favorite sportscaster.
All right, so I got a list here of just all the ones that I sort of, okay, so ready? Okay, just,
I'm ready.
Like, on CTV, which is CFTO, which is Channel 9, Cable 8, which was, you know, had... So I grew up with Johnny Esau, Pat Marsden, Fergie Oliver, Dan Matheson, Sunil, I didn't grow up with, and then now I'm a, yeah. And then later Sunil Joshi, Stu Bundy, Lance Brown, Joe Tilley, George Bryson, Claude Fague, Jerry Dobson, all right? And then on CBC, Brian Williams, Kenny Daniels was there for years, John Badham,
yeah.
Bruce Dobigan, Paul Lethbridge, Earl McRae, right? All these guys at some point were zipped through there. You know, Debbie Lytle Kwong did it for... Yes, there's just lots. Now, some of them ended up going to the, this was the confusion. Some of them ended up going to the network. So, the, you know, so Brian Williams did local sports on CBLT in Toronto, but then he also did network stuff later, okay, and ended up leaving the local to do network stuff. You know, you mentioned Jim McKenney at City TV. How about Dave Reynolds, John Saunders, Peter Gross, Greg Manzia, Jim Taddy, Russ Salzburg, Debbie yeah. Van Kiekebelt, Ann Romer, Mary Garofalo, Catherine Humphreys.
Well, ask McKenney. Ask McKenney how he lost his gig. He just said Catherine Humphreys was so damn good, like he was done. Like it was like Catherine yeah. Humphreys took his gig. Sure. Yeah.
And CHCH had Dick Beddoes, Fred Anderton, Kathy Renwald, Paul Hendrick.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about if these people anywhere they went, you're recognized. You're on the anchor desk, man. Like now, it's time for sports.
And they're all gone now, except for Bubba. Bubba's still doing it in Hamilton.
Yeah, they're not local sportscasters, right? They're in all the sportscasters now are on TSN and Sportsnet, but they're not working for a local station.
Okay, but
now,
some
of their stuff is seen on CP24 or sure. City or you know what I mean?
Because they're Rogers and Bell
is with
stations.
Rogers or Bell,
right?
But these are network anchors. There are no more local sports anchors.
So dumb question. This is and obviously this shows why they died. I suppose that I have no idea. But like if you're watching global news today, the Toronto Global News, is there no sports or they just have the anchor read it or there's no sports?
They got rid of Anthony Bruno and what's her name? Oh, I can't think of it. And I apologize again. I can't think of sure. her name. But anyway, I remember a while ago, I think probably in the last year, I had announced that Global Television right. Will no longer have its sportscasts.
Sad, right? Hebsy. Like, what? How do you feel about this? Is it just, this is just the nature of the world and we've all gone to apps now and instant gratification. It's sad that the anchors are gone.
The inevitability of death.
Oh, good call. Yes.
Mike, it's been 5 years since, you know, they said, okay, you're too old or whatever, and bye-bye. I was doing a sports show with Bubba. They kept Bubba long, okay, mm-hmm. Which is great for them, and they still do a lot of local stuff in the Hamilton, Halton, you know, area. But in Toronto, no, there's no local. I mean, the only local stuff is the network people talk, you know, at the Raptors practice, the Leafs practice, the Jays, BP, postgame, and all that, of course, flows into their programming. I mean, we want you to watch 3 hours of hockey or basketball or baseball on our network tonight. So we're going to give you all this stuff on our sportscasts.
Right.
And then after the game, we're going to give you all the postgame stuff.
And that's cross-marketing, essentially.
And as you know, Mike, and the thing I've already railed against it, and that is unfortunately, is that, you know, the way sports is treated, you know, you've got to go to the sports network. You cannot depend on the local television stations to give you anything of any substance at all. And even the sports networks, you know, they know where their bread is buttered. We're mm-hmm. going to give you as much time as possible on the teams that we cover. You know, we own the Blue Jays. We're going to give you wall-to-wall Blue Jay coverage. Maybe not as much. Well, we do cover the Raptors as well, and the Leafs, but not as much. You know what I mean? Because we're splitting it with TSN. And if you're TSN, you're not going to TSN for baseball stuff. You know, nothing against Steve Phillips and, you know, their anchors know, they know their baseball, but not like at Sportsnet. Sportsnet's got all the baseball people because they do the game. So you're not going to TSN to get your latest Blue Jay news. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And by the way, and this just doesn't in Toronto, listen, in Vancouver, guys like Don Taylor, Paul Carson, Bernie Pascal, Dave Randorf, same thing. These guys were superstars. Okay. Dinner hour sports, evening, you know, 6 and 11. In Edmonton, you had guy Dutchie, you know, who's now he's on with Jen Hedger. I think the two of them still are the late, you know, the 11 o'clock sports center anchors, but I think they're on earlier now. I think they're on right after the game if there's a game. And then they reset. They reboot for 11 o'clock, I think. It depends if they've got a late game. Al McCann was another one I remember watching from CTV in Edmonton. In Winnipeg, Joe Pascucci, Peter Young in Calgary, Grant Pollock, Mike Toth, Ken Newens. In Ottawa, Brian Smith, the late Brian Smith, who was shot and killed in the parking lot of CJOH television.
Right.
Because the madman recognized him. He recognized him. I know that guy from television. I watch him. Boom. Fuck.
Wow.
In Montreal, Ron Roosh. For years, CFCF Sports, Ron Roosh. Okay. George Athens, the water skier. He was on the CBC Montreal. So like all over, this is the way it is. And I'm sure you can name the, I don't watch enough Buffalo news anymore, but I don't, you know, do they still have the local sports casters or is it a separate show or, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so that's there it is. A very interesting article by John Wertheim in Sports Illustrated about the death of the local sports anchor. A local sports anchor used to rule,
right?
It's sort of like, what's the movie with Will Ferrell?
Yeah. Anchorman.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, so, you know, a little over the top, but basically that was it. They're right. Very well-known news, weather, and sports, right?
So this begs the question.
And then you sprinkle in entertainment later. You know, the Brian Linehan. And now City TV, news, weather, sports, entertainment with Brian Linehan, politics with Colin Vaughn. You know, add a few other little things. But for years it was news, weather, and sports. News, weather, sports. In that order. And then after sports, maybe, and a final word on the weather before we go. And here's our kicker story and goodbye.
Right.
Good night, everybody.
Right. So this begs the question, Hebsy, how long will these sports desk, I guess they're called sports center now, but these sports desk type programs go? Like, I'm always kind of surprised that these are still aired on the two sports networks.
Oh, forever. No, forever. It's the easiest thing in the world. You just put you on a desk and say, here's what you're going to show people if in case they missed it. But the best part of it is, Mike, is you've got, and not the best part, I've had to do this, but not as much as the anchors today. You're waiting for the game to be over because you're on the air. So you're Canada Ivanka and you're waiting. Now the Jays game goes to extra innings and whatever. It doesn't matter what time it is. You're going to be on as soon as the game is over. So you're waiting and you're waiting. And now they go to extra innings and you're waiting and you're waiting and standby. Okay, the game's over. So now within, I'm going to say 45 seconds of that game, that final pitch and the final out being recorded, you're on standby. Okay, I got 45 seconds. 45. You got 45. Okay, Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez, thank you very much for joining us. Here's the high fives as the team comes off the field. Blah, 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 da, 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 da. Now, let's go to Sports Center or let's go to Sports Central with Ken and Ivanka. Boom. And now, hi, everybody. Oh, that was a terrible game. Too bad the Jays lost it or whatever. Da, 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 da. And now the producer's in their ear, okay, saying standby. Okay, send it to Hazel. Off we go. Back to Jamie. Whatever the case is, back to the ballpark. They know this is it's a formulaic. Okay, it's okay, fine. Now we go back to the ballpark, right? And if they're not ready to go back to the ballpark, they go, okay, let's see highlights of the game you were just watching, because they're all queued up and ready to go. So either you go back to the ballpark, right, to Jamie if they're doing it there, or you go to Hazel if she's on the field, or not a rash this year. It's going to be Arden's Welling. But you know, this is your on. It's a little tap dance. It's a little bit of a high wire act. Okay, are we ready to go live? Are we going live? Are we not? Oh, y'all got 7 minutes because we've got another game coming up at the top of the hour. So there's this song and dance that goes on all the time. It's not fun. And then it's like, okay, here's highlights of the game you just watched. And now, okay, let's cut out of those highlights because we've got Hazel on the field with Vladdy. So they go to that. Mm-hmm. Now they come back to the desk. Now they finish the highlights off. Now they've got the rest of their package. They go, okay, for those of you watching on Sportsnet, whatever, you've got the Flames against the Canucks. See you later. For those of you who are watching on the main network, stick around. We've got more sports. And for those of you who are watching on Sportsnet East, we got the Habs playing the Vegas Golden Knights. Bye. That's not like what we used to do. Uninterrupted, 30 minutes, highlights, commentary, sports stories. There you go. Not this tap dance. Okay, you got 2 minutes. Okay, cut this one short because we got to go back live. We're going to show highlights of the game that everybody just sat through for 3.5 hours, because that's the way they do it, because they want you to stick around, because they want you to stick around to go back to the ballpark for the post-game interview and post-game commentary. So they've got you for 4 hours. That's what they want. They can run those ads and you can be a zombie at the end going, I am going to go and sign up with the Royal Bank because Austin Matthews is on those commercials riding a motorcycle and telling a guy, what's the line that he uses? It's the most annoying thing. What does he say? Austin Matthews on those commercials.
You know, I have no idea.
Get it right or something like that.
I hit the mute button.
Expression. Stupid commercial. Like, God, we got to sit through all this. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is nowadays in sports. You're going to get your sports. You can find it on multiple platforms whenever you want, live on your device. You're not sticking around to watch SportsCenter, are you? Right?
When you said that's the way it is in sports these days, I thought you were going to flip your pen.
And that's it for episode 326 of Hebsy on Sports. There may not be an episode 327, especially if the powers that be saw me flip that pen. I think I'll be okay. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. As always, hit him up at Toronto Mike and listen to his excellent podcast. He's got great guests on that show. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, so long for now.